Hi, and welcome to the RPG Academy Show and Tell. Show and Tell is a show where we like to bring on folks in the RPG space and talk about something cool they're working on. I'm Mo, and today we're talking to Rafael Stiliano and Aaron Fisher, designers of Murder Gently.
Hi there. My name is Rafael Stiliano. I'm here with Aaron Fisher. Together we are the Space Cadets, and we're here to show off Murder Gently. Murder Gently is a collaborative storytelling game where you and your friends sit down together and the game leads you through the process of creating an Agatha Christie-style mansion mystery murder story that's totally original. You create the victim, the setting, the characters, the suspects, and then by the end of the game, you get to decide if you were the killer or not.
Yeah, and one of the great things about it, this is Aaron Fisher. I'm Raphael's co-creator on this project. One of the things that makes it really special is it's truly zero prep. You'll hear zero prep a lot in the game space. And usually that means one person has a lot of prep to do and nobody else has a lot of prep to do. There's a lot of rules to read, but in our game, you literally tear open the shrink wrap and you just start. The game really requires you to know absolutely nothing. You'll learn the rules as you go. And unlike other murder mystery experiences where you might sort of play one case and then there are a finite number of cases. Murder Gently has infinite cases. You are the authors of these stories, so you can create infinite playthroughs and come back to it again and again and get wildly different stories every time, different tones, different settings, different feels and different conflicts.
Excellent. So I will just confess to the audience, I had to have you on the show because I went to a convention and I played Murder Gently and I was like, wow, this game is doing some awesome things. And I certainly didn't prep for it. So when I run it, I will let you know how truly zero is. Because I wouldn't say I've ruined any games lately, but I'm talented sometimes.
Wait, Mo, can we interview you on your podcast? Can we ask
Absolutely
you,
like, not.
Why did you have to have us on?
Because it was fun. But we're not, listen, I sit in the chair. You guys sit are guests.
All right.
Why did you guys get into game design?
I think we had a game we were really excited to make is the short answer. We started actually doing theater together. That's how we found each other, was in like sort of an undergraduate theater space. And we just kept sort of finding ourselves doing weirder and weirder projects. At a certain point, COVID came along and we were in the midst of designing a project for an arts festival that had just moved online. And we were supposed to do a theater project for it, and theater online just sounded awful. So as we kept working on it, it started turning into more of a game. And we found that we were creating this kind of immersive digital detective game that we were really excited about. So that led us to game design. We had before that collaborated on a ARG staged around our college campus where we were planting clues about
ARG?
An alternate reality game. So it was a scavenger hunt of clues that students were just randomly coming across. There's a video online somewhere of a student had made a trailer for it. Yeah, Aaron?
Yeah, so the way this game worked was we went to this college campus and we got people to sign up for a newsletter that ostensibly was going to send you fun facts emails. And after a few months, the fun facts are getting weirder and weirder. And they start having coded messages in them. And if you go back, you realize they've had coded messages in them all along. And if you start following those codes, you end up sort of running across campus, passing coded messages through library books, putting coded messages on bulletin boards. You discover that your friends and your classmates, who you don't really talk to, lots of other people are playing this game. You end up in the woods together. So that was our first sort of interactive experience. And just to add to what Rafael was saying about like how we end up doing this, we just keep coming back to games by necessity. We're interested in creating experiences that create a sense of wonder. We're interested in creating experiences that connect people, that make people feel like they're in community, that they're building friendships, spending meaningful time with each other. And that just keeps pointing us to immersivity and interactivity. And Yeah, so it's usually that we want to create experiences and then we accidentally create games.
You guys sound like you're almost playing some Cthulhu-ish cult prank on people.
That's not wrong. That's not what we were doing.
Those kind of gamers, gotcha. Well, I know a little bit about Murder Gently, but can you, for the audience, tell the audience what kind of feelings they're going to have playing this game?
Yeah, so what we really want, first and foremost, what we really want you to feel is connected. We were just at a Game Con with you, Mo, and earlier in the day, before you had a chance to play the game, we were in this room with a bunch of different games in the room, and our table was just driving everyone crazy because everyone was so loud and laughing, and it was just like a big crowd. And that's the feeling we really want to create. So we want you to feel connected to your friends. We want you to be having a good time. We want you to be inspired and amazed by each other's brilliance. We have a lot of people. Obviously, your show is going to be a lot of the audience listening are going to be frequent gamers, but we also have a lot of engineers, and we have hospital administrators who play this game, lawyers, activists, a lot of non-gamers play this game, and they're sort of worried, like, am I going to be able to do this? And what they discover is they're all brilliant storytellers. So sometimes, a lot of the time, this game will come out goofy. Some of the time, if you're intentional about it, you can make the game, like, quite gritty. So sometimes you'll be laughing, sometimes you'll just feel like geniuses.
Sometimes Gently isn't the only one murdered. Dump, dump, dump. how does the game work?
So the game, specifically, we've designed using this sort of hub and spokes model is what we call it. Mainly the hub
spokes.
In any murder mystery, or at least as far as we're concerned, who's the most important person in a murder mystery? The person who was killed. That's what it all goes back to, is the person who died. So we wanted your story about how does Jordan Gently die has to start with this character, Jordan Gently. Mm-hmm. So the first chapter of the game lets you design what your version, your vision of Jordan Gently looks like, and you make sure that every player at the table gets a say in how old Jordan is, what Jordan looks like, what Jordan does with their spare time, what Jordan's wearing, all these little details, you make those up. Once you have that in mind, then the next chapter of the game asks you, this is sort of the character creation portion of the game, that's when it asks you, okay, figure out who you are, but not just who you are in general, who you are in relation to Jordan. It's important that all the players have some connection, are friends with this person who's going to die in the next chapter of the game. This is now we're in chapter 3. It's a 4-chapter game. Suddenly, Jordan dies. We have a little section leading up to it where you've seen all of your past stuff in chapter 2 with Jordan. Chapter 3 is about what's happening in the present. And you have these interactions with Jordan. We find that a lot of sort of plot twists tend to come up at this point in the game when people are playing it. Things players don't even expect to happen. Suddenly, they just come out with it. And then Jordan dies. And in the final chapter of the game, chapter 4, at this point, the game says, okay, did you kill Jordan? And you and your friends all look at each other, and you have to think for yourself and decide for yourself based on all of this storytelling that I've done, all of this character that I did, all of this history that I made up between me and this character. Do I think I had motive to kill this character? Mm. And it's been really fun for us to see, to teach players, rather, that there's not a winning or losing of the game. Right. A lot of people come into it feeling like, well, if I'm the killer, that means that I lost. Or it's not fun if I'm innocent. And we really want to have players say, no, put any of that aside. Just ask yourself, okay, with the story that I made, do I feel like I did it? And a lot of times people will say, wow, dang, I think I must have done it, and realize that they're the killer, and then go from there. And then, of course, the story has to wrap up with a conclusion where you all look back on this weekend where somebody died, and talk about what did this mean to us. And then you look at it and you've created a whole story from scratch.
So that's super weird, because I want to ask you about how characters get created, and it doesn't sound like people kind of get together with 3D6 and roll up characters like D&D or use a playbook or anything. What are you doing to get people situated with like who they are as a character?
Yeah, this was a big part of the design thinking here. So I guess there are two things I want to talk about there. I want to go back to the hub and spokes. And I also want to talk about how the character gets graded. So the hub and spokes, the idea of the hub and spokes is, as Raphael said, you've got the victim at the center of the story. And then, as you know, in traditional, we don't have a detective in our story, but in a lot of mystery fiction, you've got a detective who then goes and says, all right, this was the victim. Who are all the people connected to them? And that's where we start getting to the spokes, all these different character stories that pop out of that hub. We explore all those different character stories, and then we get a sense of the whole. And so in the same way, we start the story with the victim, and then we start building out those characters afterward. The way characters are created in this game is, so you're authors of this story. And so as authors, it's important that you show, you don't tell. So you're not going to sit down and say, here's the biography of my character. They have three siblings. They were born in a small town in Texas. We're not going to do any of that. We're not going to figure out their height. We're not going to figure out their stats. Instead, we're going to focus on learning about who they are through the drama of the story. Mm. And this is where we get back into that hub and spokes. You introduce your character by talking about how they're connected to the victim. So you're asked questions. The way the game works, it's at its core, it's a Q&A game. The game asks you questions, you answer them, you tell the story. Mm. And so we ask you questions about how your character is connected to the victim. And you have to tell a story about your relationship with them. And through that storytelling, you start to learn about your character. What's great about this system is at the very end of the game, you're still learning new stuff about your character. It's not that you figure it all out and then you see what happens. It's right. That the whole thing keeps growing organically. A lot like when you watch mystery movie, mystery TV show, you keep learning about the character until the very end, and it works the same way.
So this sounds very compelling. How does the game master know what questions to ask?
That's such a good question. There's no game master. This was part of our zero prep ethos going into this, is how can we make a game that is welcoming to people who maybe are not totally comfortable with this kind of storytelling, making things up on the fly game, and how can we make it something you just pick up and play? There's no game master. You're all following along with the same, you know, you're going through these pages one at a time, getting asked the same questions, except sometimes you're asked different questions. And there is no game master running at all. You're going around in a circle, each answering and following along the story together. Part of the sort of surprises that come along with that is that since you don't have somebody to prompt you to push the story along in certain ways, there are a couple ways we designed the game to do that for you. One of these is just putting the onus on other players, where a game master might say, okay, you mentioned this detail, let's dig into that. We invite all the other players to ask you follow-up questions. So maybe I said something very offhandedly about my character wears a red hat. And then at the end of, I feel like I finished answering the question, and suddenly I find that every other player at the table wants to hear about this red hat and where I got this red hat and why it's so important and why I mentioned it in the first place. And suddenly that becomes a major clue that I wasn't expecting when I just made it up on the fly. Another thing we were really excited about, that to keep things interesting without having a game master there to run things, was this idea of contradiction. With the questions in the game, you never know what questions the game is going to give you. There's no game master to decide, this is a good question to give you now. So for a while we said, what happens if the game gives you contradictory questions? One question suggests that you and this character, Jordan Gently, are in a love affair. And another question suggests something that that doesn't feel compatible with that. And rather than say, okay, well, that question doesn't count, we have to find a different one, we really want players to dig into contradictions, say, okay, instead of asking ourselves, what's a different question I could use, instead say, how can I make this work? How can I fit these things together? And instead you end up surprising yourself and you end up leading the story as authors rather than having a game master leading it for you.
I keep hearing Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's also part of what makes the game feel like the characters have nuance, is you get, because of these contradictions that Raphael just spoke about, we talked about the idea of you implicate characters and you complicate those implications. So you show that the characters have lots of reasons to kill the victim. And then you also show how much they love the victim and how much they feel indebted to the victim. So you're constantly implicating and complicating, and that creates a sense of nuance where at the end you get, you've only been doing this for 2 hours. You haven't had a chance to edit the story. And yet you feel like, damn, we made like a, these are complicated characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what is, how do people know what questions to ask? How are you getting them the questions?
Okay, great question. How are we getting them these questions? So as they're paging through the book, as they're continuing through this game, the game gives them questions that are sort of default. There are some questions you are always going to get in the game. These are the ones that help you decide what Jordan looks like. And there are certain random questions as well. We have a mechanic where you're choosing what questions you're going to get without really knowing what questions you're actually going to choose. So you might, the game says, pick a location from this list and answer whatever question you get there. You don't know what question you're going to get asked if you choose to go to the crypt rather than if you choose to go to the cliffs or the shooting range or the art gallery or any of those things. So it's effectively a randomizer. You open the book, you get a question you didn't expect, you have to answer it. As for the other players, that for me is where it gets really exciting, is the follow-up questions, because you have even a modicum of control over what questions the game is going to ask you. You know they're always going to look a certain way. What the other players ask you is just, that's the most unreliable factor that is in this game. And then there's a couple ways that we play with this as the game goes on. There's a couple questions that really force you to pick up the pace. And that's the stuff where you really, the thinking on the fly that the game has trained you to do so far gets pushed to the limit. And you, like I said, you really do end up surprising yourself at that point.
I gotta say, it's a compelling game. I love the trick that it does. I love how, you know, in my experience of playing it, I didn't need to prep. I didn't need to work too hard to get into it. And I gotta say, I love seeing new games, and that's why I sat down to play. And I will confess, a game in a genre that I'm not normally attracted to. And it sang, it really sang. And so kudos to you two, that this, you really have a hot little something on your hands. Normally I'm talking to people who are ready to do their Kickstarter or who have a game out in the world. Have I done my audience a disservice? If people want to play this game, is there a way for them to get to it?
This drives us crazy. We've been sharing the game we've been working on this for years now, and we've shared the game with lots of people, and they always say, great, I want to play it again. How do I do that? And we say, hold on, we'll get back to you. We're still in the hold on, we'll get back to you phase, but here's where we are. The game is completely finished. The design is locked. We're done. We're in production. We're working on printing. And right now, the main thing that's standing between us and putting this game in your hands is a few dollar bills. We're going to be putting a crowdfunding campaign online that's not up yet because we don't yet know how crowdfunding campaigns work. So we're going to get that figured out. And what you can do right now is if you go to murdergently.com, murder, spelled the way murder is spelled, gently, G-E-N-T-L-Y, murdergently.com. If you go to murdergently.com, you can sign up to get notified when the game is launched, to get notified when crowdfunding is launched. That's the way to prepare to engage with the game. And you can also read more about the game there and see some of its art.
Any Discords or actual plays online that people can kind of check out? And see if I'm not overhyping this.
That is also another reason why you should sign up for the newsletter. We'll let you know when there's a Discord. We'll let you know when there's an actual play. Also, if you are an actual play creator, get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. Hit that contact button on our website. We'd love to share a version of the game with you so that you could help us share this game with folks and see what Mo is talking about.
I also have to say, I love the name. You had me at Murder Gently, because I was like, so a gentle murder, how's this going to work? But obviously the audience realizes we're murdering Jordan Gently. And, like,
that's the twist. You spoiled the twist.
You already mentioned this. I didn't spoil a twist. You spoiled the twist. I put it together for the people who are still putting it together. Okay. How about socials or anything like that where people can follow you?
Yeah. So there's this website, murdergently.com. And if you go to that website, you can sign up for our newsletter. The great thing is Raphael and I hate writing emails. And it takes us forever because we get quite perfectionist about it. And any email we write, we have to co-write. So you're never going to get spam. You're only going to get legit updates. That's our promise to you. Mo, I'd also love to say, if we have time, I'd love to say one thing about the piece you were saying about genre. Do we have a little time?
Yeah, sure.
You were saying that you don't usually play murder games. Everyone, I'm sorry.
I totally play murder games. Normally, I'm the murderer, and I build a character that's good at murdering.
You did manage to do that in our game.
Well, I have a brand. I have a brand to uphold.
One of the things, you know, when we were making this game, we were thinking a lot about audience. Who is this game for? And we really love that it's something that we can share with all sorts of folks. Mo obviously has played a game or two in his life. So that's one kind of audience. And then there's the audience of folks who've never played a storytelling game before, never played an RPG before. And, you know, a big part of this, the creation of this game was, we have lots of friends who fall into that second category, who we wanted to pull over into, we want to force them to play our games. But a game like D&D is like just too deep and too crunchy and too much. And so in part, that's a big part of the inspiration for this idea of being super rules light, learn as you go. I like to talk about, Raph, can I give my spiel about, so Raphael's fiance gives us about 90 seconds to teach the rules of a game. If we can't teach them in 90 seconds, we just have to go and start the game and we'll just figure it out as we go. And so we had to build a game for a person like that. And we also thought about genre on this. We love playing games with demon monks and space wizards. But for a lot of folks, that makes the space feel inaccessible. They're nervous to like play an elf.
You don't want to get space wizarding wrong.
Yeah, you got to get
people will get mad.
But like a lot of people do the murder mystery thing, and that doesn't feel, honestly, just the bottom line is it doesn't feel nerdy to people. And so they feel comfortable doing it, even if it's out of their comfort space. And so this is a really great game. In addition to everything else, it's a good game for like nobody showed, you know, half our party flaked and didn't show up. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bust out this game. It's a great game for, I didn't have any time to prep, so we're just going to play this game. And it's also a great game for hooking new people into this space. Mm-hmm. It's a great game for onboarding new storytelling game people. And we hope you'll share it that way too.
I agree on all of those things. All right. So what's the website again? Oh, okay. Murdergently.com. Sign up. I assume it'll be on Itch soon.
I assume so too. You'll find out if you sign up for our newsletter.
At murdergently.com. That's right. You mentioned that. Thank you very much, folks, for coming on RPG Academy's show and tell. I wish you the very best. You have a very fun game. And this is absolutely an indulgence, talking about something that people can't play now, but they should definitely be on the lookout for.
Mo, thank you so much for having us on. It's such a pleasure to get to talk to you about it.
Likewise. Thank you, Mo.
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast. We do this show out of love for the hobby and the desire to be ambassadors, welcoming more people into this community. All of our website content will always be free to use and utilize. But there are expenses related to the show, And if you enjoy what we do here, then please consider supporting us in some way. You can do so as simply as rating or reviewing us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. If you're going to purchase anything through Amazon or DriveThruRPG, consider using our affiliate links first, and then we'll get a small percentage sent back to us. You can do a single direct donation through PayPal using the paypal.me/TheRPGAcademy, or consider joining our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/TheRPGAcademy. And for a donation as low as $1 a month, you'll get access to lots of extra goodies, including bonus minisodes, invites to monthly one-shot games, one-sheet adventures, and more. Please consider following us on Twitter and Facebook, or join our Discord, where we like to try to keep the conversation going with our fans as best we can, and are always looking to talk and chat more. Or do none of that. Just continue to listen and enjoy our show, because honestly, that's enough. Thanks. And remember, if you're having fun, you're doing it right. We'll see you next time. The music used for our intro and outro is Fly a Kite by Spectacular Sound Productions, used under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.